Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
To declare your independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, on the Free Talk Live Network on Genesis. We're continuing the conversation with retired Lieutenant Colonel Karen Katowski from the Pentagon. She was she's very well informed, very well read, and she has a lot to share with us. I look forward to sharing a lot more conversations with Karen over the years here. We've known each other for almost 20 years, and I always get the behind the scenes. And I'm sharing it with you. We are so dependent on technological babysitters for freaking everything, you know, walk us through the hedgerows. We need to make sure that we have some fundamental basic skills of you don't die from starvation, duh. Well, that is gone, and it sure as heck is not in education system. So this is why when you get some hillbillies, you know, in Appalachia, or guys living in the desert, or homeschooling their families, and then you get them in college class, and they actually can think. What do they think? Doesn't even really matter. It's that they can think, you know. So can think means maybe you can eat. So this is, we're going to be tested. And when it happens, who's going to rise to the top? They're going to wave around their, you know, women's studies degree all they want. It doesn't mean squat. So I'm looking at, well, there's going to be a change.
Yeah, it is. It is coming. And the other thing about decentralization, it's not chaos. Of course, it is to the authoritarians, but the decentralization and necessity, which drives, you know, the mother of invention, all that, right? But also what that does is it strengthens families and extended families rather than reducing them. And it's the opposite. It's really the opposite of what we're seeing with woke and also globalism, this globalism, like we have to, you know, fight wars for fake democracies here and there. All of that breaks up families. War breaks up families, too. I mean, people take sides, and it's a problem. The shot, certainly, the authoritarianism causes people to make a choice, and sometimes they choose to separate from their families emotionally or physically in other ways. And but that's not what decentralization does in an, you know, when we're having to rebuild and strengthen and support ourselves locally. What happens is our families are strengthened, and people that may have been kicked out of our family because they didn't behave well miraculously begin to behave well because we have food and they don't. So, you know, they come back and you know, and we say, well, you know what? I kicked out my kid who was a gender confused person, and we had this huge falling out in the family because half of them disagreed with whatever. But then it turns out, well, you know what? This kid really knows how to make soup out of stones, whatever, right? And so what do? Well, we need soup out of stones, so we bring this kid. You know, we become more empathetic in many ways to things that right now we have the luxury of using to separate ourselves. And of course, this is very purposely encouraged by the authoritarians because they want people atomized. They want us, you know, not to have connections. They don't want us sharing TikTok videos, right, that they can't control and they can't edit. They want us to be atomized so that we just look to the state. What did Biden tell us? He said, put a mask on. I'm putting a mask on. I'm reporting all my neighbors for not putting a mask on. Okay, that's what they want. But that's not very productive. If the choice is between obeying an authoritarian or eating, we will choose to eat.
And yeah, you know, when it comes down to you got to eat, this is what I anticipate is going to happen. There is going to be a revitalization of meritocracy, that you actually what you can do. And the biggest thing, that inspiration that people have in a lot of the writings that you do, your professorships, your speaking engagements, all the, you know, a lot of the things that the Liberty community, a lot of the people that we know together, you know, both of us see this happening, that all of a sudden the confidence that you had in supporting Ron Paul, the confidence you have in espousing liberty-oriented, libertarian, anarchist, leave-me-aloneist, you know, solutions to everything. Freedom's the answer. What's the question? By doing that, the confidence, you know, comes from competence of actually knowing something and doing stuff. When you do that and you just know that sooner or later, all this is going to come around. All this is going to be, I can wait. I had somebody on the Love Bus yesterday, a friend of my mother-in-law. She saw, you know, the studio we have in here, and they were touring it, and we're working and had some stuff, and there was one of my computers had a video up of Vivek giving a presentation that I wanted to finish watching later. And, yeah, we'll talk about some of the candidates here in a little bit. But, you know, so she's like, oh, Republican, I'm a libertarian. Well, what's that? And just wanted to, you know, explain it to me, you know. And she said, well, you get your shot. Oh, you didn't get your shot. Oh, my goodness, I have to get out of the bus kind of thing, you know. And I'm going, you know. And she goes, were you saying it's all a lie? That the whole world, I go, yeah, I am. And I go, all I got to do is wait. It's timing. It's time. We're going to see this happen. And you're seeing all I always said, it won't happen all at once, but it will happen overnight. Well, of course you're going to see all the stuff. And then all of a sudden, it's Monday. It's bank holiday. It's their reset of whatever. It's the great reset that happened 12 hours ago. I mean, it's coming. And then one of the stories we have up, that's going up today, is Justin Trudeau, they passed a bill that gives them control over podcasters. Okay? They want to control.
I saw, or they're developing. Yeah.
Any dissent. And then, while the whole time he's all buttering up, you know, buddying up to, you know, Zelensky, and then you have the truckers, the convoy and so on, a bunch of Nazis. He has an actual Nazi in the, you know, parliament. They're all cheering for and everything. The Speaker of the House or their guy in parliament there resigns.
Okay, great. I tell you that's a very that's a demonstration not even of how stupid Trudeau is and his people up there, some of them. But you know, you had a whole parliament and their guests all standing and clapping, and not a single one of those people. This is my assumption. Not a single one of those people remembered or knew who was fighting whom in World War II in Europe.
Yeah, Russia was our allies.
If you were fighting the Russians in World War II, by definition, you were a Nazi. Okay? That's history. Unfortunately, it doesn't fit their modern narrative. But I looked at all those people standing and clapping, and you really didn't even see people like not clapping. They were all participating. And the power of confirmation, the power of peer pressure, the lack of historical knowledge that they have, and not a single one of them or their staffs ever said anything to their people. Hey, this dude is a Nazi, but not because he's an actual member of an SS Waffen group. Not that, but because you're telling me he fought the Russians in, you know, 1940. Okay, well, if he fought the Russians, he was fighting Americans, and we were fighting the Nazis, meaning he was fighting. Nobody said that, so that's the quality of our education and also the power of indoctrination, the power of mass stupidity. And guess what? If I was a Canadian and I'm seeing my whole parliament, I would say not so much upset that, oh, you know, they honored a Nazi, because that is beyond the pale, of course. But the fact that they're all so stupid. You know, this is like, oh, my God, that's my government? Well, right. You know, you wouldn't obey a government that was made up of people that couldn't even figure out who's fighting who in a war that we talk about, I mean, daily. Do we not talk about World War II almost daily? That was the big war that put the United States up on top, made us the superpower.
Yeah.
You hear our politicians talking about it all the time. And yet, and Canada the same. So they talk about World War II, but they have no understanding of what it was they're talking about. So they don't deserve respect, and they certainly don't deserve obedience. And that, to me, was a great lesson there. I mean, it is unfortunate and sad that what they did. Now, the other thing that was so funny is one of the most enthusiastic clappers, of course, was Zelensky, who is actually, you know, aligned with Nazis fighting Russians right now. So he was legit. I don't mind that he clapped. That's legitimate. That's honest. That was the most honest thing Zelensky's done in probably 8 months.
Yeah, the other guys were circus
maybe 2 years.
They were just doing what they're supposed to do.
But the other guys, sure, they're doing what they were told, and they didn't. That's not an excuse, because honestly, we do in our schools, and I'm sure in Canadian schools, we teach something to those public school kids about World War II. Surely they know who was fighting who in Europe. Surely. And if they don't, guess what? I'm not listening to any of them. You know, they do not deserve your respect. They do not deserve your obedience. They are not competent to rule. And they're not basically, you know, at this point, they're not my rulers. Now, of course, the Canadians aren't my rulers, but neither are the people in Washington. And that kind of thing could happen to some extent in Washington, and certainly it did. I mean, you know, 8 months ago, when Zelensky was welcomed in our own Congress as a hero, you know, that was unforgivable. You know, they clearly do not know anything about history. They don't know anything about what's happening. They are tools of the military-industrial complex.
I want you to go ahead and comment on this comment. There is going to be, looking back onto this time in history, as what the crap was going on. What do you think is the lesson? You know, just the past, not even the Trump thing. I mean, just the past month. I mean, you know, the past, you know, after when they had COVID and it's on top of everybody and they got their own and get masked up. And then Ukraine, you know, they got the support for Ukraine. And on a dime, all of these, you know, the parliament and everybody clapping. Oh, wait a minute, I got to put a Ukraine flag on my Facebook. Boom. And the transition shift from COVID to that was like overnight, literally. I mean, it was boom.
Yeah.
Turned on a dime. That from that moment there to now, and you know, the 24 election cycle, when it's 5 years from now, another one or two presidential election cycles go by and they go back like they always reference Reagan or they always reference whatever. When they reference this time, what do you think is going to be the common evaluation of what we're going through?
Well, end of empire. And I'll tell you, if you listen to radio, and I listened to some this morning, earlier today, there's a loose meme or something going around Twitter and everything else saying people are referring to and thinking about the Roman Empire.
Yep.
And the radio guy was saying, there's this thing going on, and he says, I think it started in Reddit somewhere. And I'm like, oh, yeah, really? Started in Reddit. Okay. And he goes, I don't know. He says, the wife said she asked her husband, do you ever think of the Roman Empire? And her husband looked at her and said, yeah, I think about it every day. And so this is kind of, is that real? Is it whatever? And so it's going around. And the radio guy, typical American, I guess, is saying, well, you know, when I think of the Roman Empire, I think of Hollywood depictions of, you know, these Roman Empire movies and stuff. And I'm like, God, you know, well, okay, I'm glad you think about that. But really, the Roman Empire, when people who think about the Roman Empire in this country and other places think about it, we think about it as how it ended, okay? And how did it end? It ended with leaders who were incompetent and criminal and immoral, in so many ways immoral. It ended with kind of what we're seeing with the wokeness, the breakdown of society, the end of marriage, the end of
family, The decadence. Kind of
traditional end of family decadence is the word I'm looking for. Yes, it ended with decadence. And that's also financial decadence and the great buildings of the government, the great borrowing and the great unfunded projects that the government has pursued. And, of course, naturally increased taxes and increased pressure on the producers. And, of course, at the lowest end, the worker level, poverty. At the middle level, compression and reduction of a so-called middle class, which we've certainly seen. So many of the parallels of how a great empire ends, we are seeing. And so I don't know if the wife's husband, you know, if this is real, not real, but the idea of thinking about the Roman Empire is how we will look at it. We will look at it as the second great empire in the model of the Roman Empire, where it overstepped and it became arrogant and authoritarian and hollow, both in its money and its moral authority. It began to lose wars. Oh, my goodness, it began to lose wars.
Oh, that's definitely their bad. They're losing now.
Yeah. And it began to lose F-35 airplanes over South Carolina.
Right.
Guy ejects and they pull the airplane.
Everybody go outside and look. I wanted to define the word decadence. I hear it a lot. I want to make sure we got this. I looked it up, and it goes, a process, condition, or period of deterioration or decline, as in morals, art, decay, whatever. So it's a moral deterioration of a society. And that's one thing I always said. I go, we're going to be fine. Humanity always, we're fine. And sooner or later, we're fine. Because we always act in what we perceive to be our own self-interest. And when it becomes a food thing, it all turns into a food thing. FYI. It's just going to be a food thing. It's already started for a lot of people. They can't afford food. It's going to be a food thing. I guarantee it. Well, what happens is as you get towards that, you see what made it so. How did that happen? I got a book. It's called Red Famine. And my mother and my wife was up here this summer. My mother-in-law had operations. She's hanging with her. I don't know why she got this, but she got this book for her because the families are from Ukraine. So her uncles and so on, they have a lot of family in Ukraine. Well, they were more Western Ukraine and not as, eating their children or so on like they were doing in Eastern Ukraine. But it was, so this kind of, rang home for them. Well, my mother-in-law read this, and I saw the book there, and I got it. I'm sitting here looking at it. I'm going to read it because it'll be interesting, because I believe we're going through this. This is what's going to happen. It's going to be a food thing. They are trying to, you're going to eat bugs because you're not going to have anything else. That's why, So I'm going, this is the model that we're going through, but this... What was the base of it? What was the foundation? What allowed them to be able to turn a meritocracy, Yankee know-how, buy your own bootstrap kind of thing? What is taking that away and our resilience as individuals, as state, the purpose of government, defense of individual rights, it doesn't do that, it's time to alter, abolish, it's your right, your duty kind of mentality thing, and we got guns. We got guns. We're going to make it. Yeah, well, we got guns. So this is, I'm looking at this, what was the secret sauce? And I'm from looking at the Roman Empire and the decadence, it was the attack on the family unit. It was mom and dad raising generation next to be able to be competent adults to keep feeding themselves, build their own homes, educate their own children, grow their own food, source their own water, create their own markets, deal with their community, be a good neighbor. All that foundational stuff got replaced, just like in 1984, the movie, is their minute of hate as they're yelling at the screen. That's what we're seeing. And Orwell depicted this so well. He goes, what the future is? It's a jackboot on a human face forever. Don't let it happen. Okay? Well, we're at that stage. And that's why I wanted to talk to you. When you wrote this, you did a lot of the current and we know and CIA mouthpiece Ignatius is announcing that we're going to have a change in the guard of the whatever and the left and the right and they, them, those, the military, industrial, they're going to do whatever anyway. And, all of this, but... the light at the end of the tunnel, the meritocracy return, the humanity will not go quietly into that good night, that is what we can see. My only fear, and for years I've been saying this, and you may remember you and I talking about it, is that the only way they prevail, they, them, those won't leave us alone, is if they can change us, humanity, at a fundamental level, physically, spiritually, intellectually, you know, whatever. Well, they've been able to do it, as they always have, from a meritocracy to who you know, what you know, and what list you're on kind of crap. And but then our DNA comes in, and we just, you know, want to keep on keeping on and keep breathing in and out and kind of stuff. Well, what if they can change that? What if they can change humanity? What if they can dial down, you know, your resistance just a little bit? What if they go and they, you know, do the King Solomon thing, you know, they're going out killing all the young Jews trying to get rid of Jesus, you know? What if they're out, you know, going to get the babies? What if they're looking at the DNA? Woo, you got a little bit too much of William Wallace in you. You need not make it out of the baby hospital. I mean, when they start going after our humanity, and then they come up with all this COVID mRNA shot kind of, I'm going, holy crap, did we manifest this? You know? So this is, that's the only thing I'm afraid of. And even then, humanity always finds a way. We are at that point now. And I'm seeing that we are got to have what? You know, a turn to what? Well, there's a God thing going on. There's always that. And then we have near the top, within the top four stories, I think it is here, on Freedom's Phoenix, Tyrese, which is a rapper and an actor in Fast and Furious or whatever, he goes on a talk show to promote the movie, and he starts going on all about, calls out devil worshiping. And they took this segment, and they took all these videos of the Grammys and the Oscars and all these different videos and MTV. They used to be in the basement. Now they're out on national broadcast television wearing devil costumes, doing devil stuff. We've got, you know, Satan Club in school, and we're doing, this is the beginning of the end for them. But it's not going to happen with us sitting on our butt either. And it's not going to be go vote harder. It is go, you do wallet voting. It's how you spend your time, how you raise your kids, what support you do to your grandkids. It is us. It is us. It's decentralization of authority and power down to the family, to the individual. That is what's coming. And Karen's article, My Gromyko Theory, on LouRockwell.com and everywhere else that she just wrote a couple days ago, this is just a beginning, because this is a lot of what Karen says a lot anyway. You know, she understands this. But you have optimism based on what, Karen? What is your optimism of this too shall pass, you know, comes from where?
Well, it comes from physics, entropy. The power cannot stay sustained in one place. It always decentralizes, and it once it starts, it goes even faster. Taking care of
business. This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. Law enforcement is stepping up security even though there is no specific threats to New York following the Hamas attacks against Israel. New York City Mayor Eric Adams says the NYPD has increased patrols at synagogues and other areas of concern.
We're looking at those sensitive locations that we have already been aware of. We're looking at those communities where you have a large amount of visible Jewish population, like Williamsburg, Ballpark, out in the Rockaways.
This week, a vote is scheduled to determine the next House Speaker. Ohio Republican Jim Jordan and House Majority Leader Steve Scalise of Louisiana have both thrown their hat into the ring for consideration. The vote may take place as early as Wednesday. No winner in Saturday night's Powerball drawing, and that means things roll over. Tonight it's worth $1.5 billion. Dave Collins, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Those of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
This article, My Gromyko Theory, on LouRockwell.com and everywhere else that she just wrote a couple days ago. This is just a beginning, because this is a lot of what Karen says a lot anyway. You know, she understands this. But you have optimism based on what, Karen? What is your optimism of this too shall pass, you know, comes from where?
It comes from physics, entropy. The power cannot stay sustained in one place. It always decentralizes, and it once it starts, it goes even faster. So, and we're in that right now, in the loss of faith, just like you're talking about, just like that rapper was talking about. You know, his eyes are opened, and he says, you know what, this is not what should have power. What has power should not have power. And so that's authorization for us. That is liberating us. Find power in a decentralized way, and to turn away from authoritarianism, because it doesn't work unless we obey. You know, it doesn't work unless we obey the government. But you're right about the concern on the biological editing of humans, and the elite, the global elite, very much views many Americans as useless eaters, which they have said that they've used that term. But they, if we're not useless eaters and need to be destroyed, we are farm animals that need to be
harvested,
corralled and harvested. So if we don't decentralize, what's coming could be extremely anti-human. But here's the thing. People are waking up to it, and that's all it really takes, is people waking up to it.
They're going after
MAGA.
Anybody that supports, I've been to, you know, different rallies or something, friends around the country, and there happened to be a thing here and a thing there. Or I'm covering something, and I get it. You know, I'm going, yeah, the people, it's a, like Kamala Harris was saying when, after she was vice president-elect, she's like, we know where you are. We know who you are. We got, yeah, I got the list right. We're going to get some. You know, so they, and then the January 6th thing happened and demonstrated they're going to any and everybody.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, you know, yeah. I'll tell you, off air, the audience already knows, but, you know, I got subpoenaed to Washington, D.C. last December for January 6th thing.
Yeah.
Because I knew what they're going to do. They're taking new alternative media influencers, and they're saying you should not interview these types of people and these types of subjects at these types of times, that you're not allowed, and we're going to regulate podcasts, so saith Justin Trudeau. And I'm going, then they're going to take you and use your own cooperation against you. And then what did they do? Exactly that with Owen Schroeder from InfoWars. That's exactly what they did. I go, this is why I did this. This is why you don't cooperate with this kangaroo court crap. So they're going to get some Ernie eventually, but, you know.
That's a great story. It's a great lesson. And I know, and it is understood. It is well understood. Take the anti-war thing. I mean, on the left and the right, the real right, you have a common shared anti-war perspective. And that is a legit common shared value. Now, when they go beyond that, you know, they talk about, you know, when they address the rights, the role of government, the role of the individual, all these things. Yes, then the progressives And the true libertarians, of course, are not in the same place. But I think some of it is probably just looking for an audience now that they are not finding that audience in the traditional or the modern Democratic Party. I think part of it's that. Now, the other part of it clearly is to break up the libertarian movement, which has already begun to happen. You know, we have pro-war libertarians. We have pro-intervention libertarians now. We have left libertarians now believe government is good and it ought to fight for other democracies. And if we say Ukraine's a democracy and it gets attacked, we should fight for them.
Yeah,
and
they're libertarians. What kind of libertarians are they then? How do they make a claim of being
not
libertarian?
Well, let me tell you, I was observing this to some extent, but last Saturday at the Mises Circle in Nashville, and those videos should be up soon, there was a, we had Ted Galen Carpenter, who used to be at Cato for a long time, and he gave us a discussion and explanation of what's happening in the Libertarian Party, and we have a statist branch, basically a pro-war statist branch of libertarianism, and that aspect of libertarianism is very much a good, wise target for the progressives, because they do share the value. They share values that you and I would not share with a progressive perspective at all. But there are libertarians out there. So it is, you know, some of it's just marketing. You know, where might my readers be? Especially since the Democratic leadership is not going to tolerate, you know, real.
I'm a military industrial complex guy, but I know how to spell libertarian. Pick me. You know, I'm like, that is so, that's why we had the bumper stickers to say, yes, I'm that libertarian. So when I had my progressive guy that I had on, he goes, oh, no, you're a reasonable guy. I can work with you. You're reasonable. We could, you know, have a conversation. You're reasonable. You know, I'm going, no. I'm that libertarian, okay? So this is, as time goes on, they're just marketing. There's something going on. I feel a trigger getting pulled. There is something, you know, the Soros just funding the woke DA kind of thing. I think that's not working, or is that just a wave for salvo of creating all kinds of strife in the city so they can make them smart cities, or are they're trying to bring down, defund the police so we can bring in a national police, or there's something weird, something wicked this way is here. And I have yet to get a real grasp of it.
Yeah. Well, you kind of have the solution in what you said. They aren't going to be able to debate very well with a libertarian. Most libertarians understand libertarian principles. And so it's actually good if they come and talk to us, because they will learn something. We won't learn as much as they will learn.
Right.
So I think we always have the advantage, because anything driven by principle is going to be more contagious than something that is not driven by principle. And I think most of these progressives have lost their sense of solid principles. They just don't have them. And they're searching, like everybody. We want to have the answers. What are the answers? And so if they come talk to the libertarians, even the pro-war libertarians, they may walk away more informed. I don't see this as a takeover thing, although, you know, we are seeing a split in the Libertarian Party, and I do think that a lot of that has to do with fears that the Libertarian ideas will become more popular amongst independent voters. And again, this 2024 presidential is going to be different. You're going to see, I don't know if we won't have a reform candidate, you know, that really, you know, does as well as we had.
Well, who's the prominent libertarian presidential nominee going to get person sanctioned by the internal whatever?
I don't know. I don't know. There's a couple people running for it, and I think they are, now that the more Austrian free market libertarians are in control of the party, it'll probably be a good candidate. Oh, and we also saw this attack on the Libertarian Party long before what you're talking about, because look at when they took Barr and some of these other guys who were not even libertarians at all, but they were mainstream Republicans, and they took them and ran them as libertarians. I mean, I didn't vote libertarian for those people. I would never vote for those people. Why? Right. Why you think we're that stupid? So, you know,
they're looking for a money-making mechanism. That's all they're looking for.
Hey, Anthony Oliver's songs. That's a libertarian theme in many ways. Yep. You know, he has nailed it. And how many you know, potential, I mean, they offered him millions and millions of dollars. If the libertarian ideas are, they do need to be fought, because they are powerful. They are powerful. And I think again, it's kind of this whole decentralization. We're seeing those libertarian ideas pop up everywhere, and they're very attractive. And I think the candidates who appeal to those the most in the 2024 election, and the parties that appeal to those the most, are gonna see a payoff for the first time in, I think, decades or ever. I think we're gonna see a payoff. Those people with libertarian ideas, not necessarily the party, but those people that are embracing limited or end of government as we know it, they're embracing individualism, they're embracing peace. We're gonna see the voters vote for those people. And this is why Trump was so popular in 2016 and in 2020. His peace message, you know, all this other stuff, these kinds of things resonate with people, very popular, and the powers that be, the status quo, deep state, whatever you want to call it, neocons, are right to be afraid. They're very right to fear this, because it's coming for them.
I'm very optimistic about the future, simply from a standpoint of abundance. There is going to be, you want to have your smart city and be a drone and, well, peace out, I don't care. But they're always wanting to eliminate options and choices to make their choice, you know, oh, we didn't, you know, it's a voluntary choice. You wanted to live in this city. It's like, you know, well, we didn't make you take the shot. You know, as they threatened you every which way and you couldn't do anything, you know, but we didn't make you. We didn't make you. And I'm like, you know, these, I'm so tired of the tolerance that the people have for total BS. And it's starting to get to the point that sooner or later, as I always predicted, humanity realizes that they have to act in what they perceive to be their own self-interest. Well, that's why they BS them into you're going to die if you have somebody walk and cough, you know, at the grocery store in front of you. So I'm just, as time goes on, they start to perceive it's in their own self-interest to oppose tyranny, to oppose authoritarianism, to support diversity in thought, diversity in, you know, how you have choices to make options for everything. And this decentralization and this meritocracy that's going to be returning, just like you say, for universities and so on, all of a sudden it's going to meet the opportunity where the bad guys, man, they didn't see this one coming. When crypto came and you had all these liberty-oriented, you know, liberty anarchists, libertarians type, all of a sudden become crypto rich, and then they're like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, we can't have that, you know. And this is, and then the free market opportunities like with Silk Road and Ross Ulbricht, you know, getting triple life sentences and all this other for doing a web page. So this is what they are afraid of. And we just have to just ignore them and just develop our own infrastructure and just do it. You know, like, Karen, you live on a farm. I mean, you got your community around you. You probably find out where to get your next meal, or you go out and slaughter a goat or something. You know, this has been such an obvious solution since forever. And now it's, and for the past few years, all I've been mantra, I've been, I go, look, bottom line, this is all going to turn into a food thing. And whatever, you know, manifestation, but it's going to be about putting calories, you know, that nourish your body in your mouth. And you, where are you going to get that? How are you going to get that? How are you going to be allowed to get that? And then what are you going to use to buy it? And how much tracking you're going to do? All this stuff is a lesson for people of the need for decentralization, to get off of the banks, out of their system, grow your own food, educate your own kids, have your own markets. All the, this is happening. And all of this is in my head when I read my Gromyko theory by Karen Katowski on Lou Rockwell. And I get it, and I'm going, she gets it. You know, Karen, you and I have known each other for a long time, and I'm telling you, this is so good to have you articulate what's coming and why. And I just want, before you go, the last thing I want you to share with the audience is if you have any timing. Are you thinking, oh my God, it's taking this long? When's this ever going to happen? Or is it kind of evolving the way you think it's healthy for the planet? What do you think in the near future, long future, where are we going?
Yeah, well, I think I've been, for many years, I was waiting, it's, when's it going to happen? And now I realize it's been happening. It's happening right now.
Right.
And all the stuff you're talking about and the way people are, and in this country, you know, we talked about the BRICS, okay? So the BRICS are turning away from the U.S. as a superpower, because we're no longer a superpower and we can't do anything about it, and that's wonderful. I think we're seeing it right now with the various states in this country. We have 50 states and a bunch of territories, and many of them, you mentioned Texas sending bus loads up to New York and to Chicago and places saying, hey, this is what you want. Here is some of what you want. And the states are, if they called Biden and said, hey, I'm the governor of Texas, can I do this? Of course, Biden would say no, but they're not calling and asking for permission at all. They're not asking for permission. They're just doing it. They're behaving autonomously in many ways, and I think that's going to increase. We're seeing people already vote with their feet. And so the decentralization is actually happening all around us, and people are thinking about things like food. There was news just a day or two ago from the Walmart. The guy, one of the Walmart president CEO, talked about how shopping practices in Walmart, they're seeing people choose less processed food. Well, processed food costs more, so they're choosing less of it. They're drinking less soda because soda's expensive and it doesn't give you that caloric bang for the buck that you need. And they're already seeing people making different choices. So anyway, it's happening right now. Just open your eyes. You'll see it. And I wanted to refer to an article, a friend of mine, Jonathan Newman at the Mises Institute. He has a great article that came out on the 30th, so that was Saturday. And you can find it there at Mises.org. And the title of the article, it's not crazy, he's an economist. It says, is the money in your checking account, is it yours or the bank's?
Right.
Very simple question.
We put that up.
And guess what? Oh, yeah, people don't have money in banks. I mean, maybe they don't have so much. They'd like to have more, you know, whatever. But most people, many people in this country do get, they have a bank account because their paycheck is deposited, or their welfare check is deposited, or their Social Security check, retirement checks are deposited into a checking account. And his article is very short. It's very sweet. It's very interesting. It's very crazy. I mean, it's very scary. But he talks about it in a very logical language, and he says, you know, is the money in your checking account yours or the bank's? And how many people do you think in this country are already thinking about that. What you just said, you reminded me of it with the story of what happened to Canadian truckers. But it's a very these are the kinds of questions that average people, not libertarians, average Americans are asking. And that's part of how we break the system. We just say, hey, we're going to ask the right questions, and we're not going to obey unlawful or stupid or overly centralizing orders from fake authority figures. We're not doing it.
Well, now we can.
We're turning away from that.
That's the whole point. You know, when we did this, you know, for years I've been going, man, I want to get on the land, occupy the land. Go to occupytheland.org, and you'll see what we're building. Yeah, it's a long story. Occupytheland.org, occupy the land. Well, the whole point was, as I'm going, when we have the ability to communicate, when I get my satellite, communication, internet, whatever, whether you support Starlink or Musk or not, it's not the point. It demonstrated the technology. We're out of the cities now. We have the ability to generate our own power. We have the ability to grow our own food. We have the ability to educate our kids with the information from the world available to us with communication. We could do markets. We could do... This is the beginning of, you know, the new Pax Americana thing. You know, this is the Pax of people, you know. So I am looking for this abundance that is available, because everything costs crap tons of money because of energy. You know, the armies to support access to the energy, the subsidizing of the energy, the padding and the making of the money of the energy. You know, how much is dirt? How much is a raw material? How much is oil to make, you know, plastic, a car, or this, that? It's nothing. It's the processing of it with the energy. Heck, even, you know, I need a bunch of cement. You know, it's what? A bunch of heat and energy to make Portland cement. I mean, it's energy. You crack that. We get the fusion reactor of the Mr. Fusion of, we get the whatever solar secret, whatever the heck. You know, it doesn't matter. But that it's decentralized. Solar allows for that. And that's why they want to push the solar out of solar, or the solar, whatever, don't care. I don't even look at, you know, the batteries, I don't care. I'm looking at the decentralization I get above their grid. And this is what's coming. The technology supplies it, and the communication was the last thing for me to be able to pull this trigger, which we're doing. And I can see that my children and grandchildren are going to be fine, but we have to get to the point that we understand that we are not fine with a yoke on our neck. We are not fine with a central authority 5-year plan of, we got it, and oh, by the way, you need to, you know, cut off your children's genitalia. You know, I'm going, this is not fine. So now we're starting to see that what is the foundational base and purpose of government? The defense of individual rights and, you know, protection of the Constitution or whatever agreement we have, you know, how we're going to live from all enemies, foreign and domestic, and just worry about our borders and the rest of the world, not my problem. You know, no tangling alliances, free markets for everybody, little kid making widgets in the jungle of Amazon can sell to little kids whatever the heck they want to hang, you know, in their room, you know, with crypto. I mean, the world is going to devoid itself of these kinds of controls, regulations, and a cut for the man all the time. When that happens, which is happening now, which is why they have to have more and more draconian controls and CBDC. So end it on that, as you got to go out, you know, CBDC. I mean, how's that going to play out, you think?
Well, it certainly is in the interest of the dying governments to have it, but I don't, it's not going to, it is not going to work. And actually, a great example of that is just look at how it worked in Nigeria with the e-Naira. They had and it was mandated and still was not adopted. We don't, centralization, over-centralization, authoritarianism, we are rejecting it. It doesn't work. Can't work in the long run, and we just turn away from it and live our lives and produce and build communities, just like you're describing. It's all good. It's very positive, and it's really liberating when you think about it. So I hope
unintentional communities, intentional communities. I got you know, a prominent individual, you know, the Florida Food Forest guy is coming on tomorrow. And everybody's just been on my case, you know, it's paralleling a lot of stuff that we're doing to talk to him. And I'm going, okay, you know, I want to know how you're having staff decisions, residents, right? I mean, is this an intentional community or is it yours? You know, I need to know, you know, how we're going to have some intentional community that doesn't turn into another government. So I like unintentional communities. This property, this X amount of acres is mine, 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 not yours, mine. You know, and that's yours, not mine, yours. You know, you do that, then it's an unintentional community around, I don't know, whatever. So there is that question in my mind, because it's always people that cause the problem. It's always, and then even you get a good 10-year stint, and then their kids, you know, or their grandkids. Somebody's, you know, got their 2-stroke motorcycle jumping over your house or whatever. So I'm just like, this is the big thing for me for the future. Intentional or unintentional communities, what say you?
No, I mean, yeah, I'm all for it. Sure. Unintentional, you know, look, what we need is freedom. Whatever the question is, the answer is freedom.
Yep.
The answer is liberty.
Yep.
And Ron Paul was right about that, and so was Thomas Jefferson. And he talked about every generation needs to make its own consent to be governed. The idea of the tree of liberty, blood of tyrants, but we have to consent to the extent we're willing to give up our own power. And we cannot have that done for us. We cannot inherit that. We have to choose it. And I think we're in that process right now. And it's long overdue, which is why I think it seems more possibly serious and even more chaotic than it has to be, because it is long overdue. But I'm really positive that I personally will see it with my own two eyes. And I think we're seeing it a little bit right now, and I think it's just going to get – I am an optimist, so I hope that comes through. I don't know.
But I am of the same opinion. Abundance is around the corner, and we are going to be fine, especially if we can maintain our humanity physically. And if they, them, those can, you know – turn you into a slave with the push of a button, they will. They sure as hell want to, and they don't have any moral hurdle to get over. So you got to be, you know, ready, willing, and able to understand what's happening. And one of the best ways to get a really good look at what's coming from inside, Karen Katowski, you see her on lewrockwell.com, a great deal. Whatever she writes, she usually puts up there. And you read her, you'll be filled with hope and understanding, which is a very powerful weapon. Karen Katowski, thank you very much for spending time. I always feel better when we talk. Thank you for being my, you know, mental health guru.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's always great fun.
All right. Peace. Bye.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.